These are kingdom values. The world doesn't like to be poor. The world thinks that meekness is weakness. The world doesn't want to mourn. The world doesn't want to hunger and thirst. But if you want to follow Jesus Christ, you need kingdom values. The Beatitudes, 9 of them. And at the end of them, Jesus told them to go and flavor the earth, to go and illuminate the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, which means this: the kingdom values are not meant to be hidden. They're not just meant for the church. We got plenty of salt here. Go flavor the world.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Built by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, you'll find people who genuinely love the Lord and love one another, looking for ways to make Christ visible in our community. We'd love for you to come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
One of my favorite TV shows from years past was this show right here. Anybody here remember watching this one? A lot of y'all, Home Improvement, right, with Tim, the Tool Man Taylor. Now, we love to laugh at this Tim's many accidents and mishaps, but many people's personal and spiritual lives are no different, because we also forget to follow God's directions. We skip a step or two, and then we also make crazy modifications when it comes to our spiritual life. God's word says this, but we decide to do things a little different. We say, yeah, I know what it says, but I'm going to do this. And unfortunately, we make a big mess of our lives. But this morning, we're going to learn that if we want to build a life that will stand through the storms of life, but much more that will stand on that day of judgment when the big storm is coming, we need to build our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. And this morning, that is a very important thing for us to understand. We're going to have storms in this life, but this is not what the parable is about. We're in a series on the parables of Jesus, and today we come to the parable of the wise and foolish builders, and it's called Built. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 7:24, and let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's the operative word, does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And again the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, as you know, parables are like mirrors. You find yourself in the stories. Two people, one is a wise builder, another is a foolish one. Which one are you? Are you a wise builder, or are you a foolish one? Are you building a life that will last? And I'm not talking about the storms in this life. Hey, listen carefully. Even lost people make it through the storms of life. Sometimes I found lost people make it better than saved people do. We're not talking about the storms like divorce or health problems or job loss. You can make it. Have the right support system. Have some wise decisions. You'll make it. But there is a storm coming at the judgment seat of God on that day. Will you last? Will you be able to stand? Are you only a hearer of the word, or also are you also a doer of the word? Are you obedient? And this morning, Have you heard the gospel? The gospel is very simple. Jesus came, died for you, was buried, rose again, and trusting in Him, you can have eternal life, but you have to commit to following Him. And if you've never prayed that, would you pray with me right now? Jesus, I know I'm lost, and when that storm comes, the biggest, the greatest storm of all, on the day of judgment, I want to be able to stand. But to stand, I need a firm foundation, and the foundation is you. The foundation is the gospel. The foundation is the truth that you died 2,000 years ago on the cross, and you were buried, and you rose again. And trusting in you, I can have eternal life. Today, I need you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and take over. And help me, God, to follow you. Help me to live for you every day. Now, before we dive into this parable, let me make a quick clarification. We have all kinds of people at Clearview in different services, and some come with a pad and a pen, and they take notes, and they go to the blog, and they ask me questions, so they're digging deep into the Word of God. So for the benefit of those, the parable of the two builders is also found in the Gospel of Luke. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, as you just read, but it's also found in the Gospel of Luke, but there are minor variations. While Matthew focuses on two different building sites and the description of the weather, Luke focuses on two different building processes. There is a difference between those two. In fact, I encourage you, go home, and when you sit down, open up Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49, and then go back to this one, which is Matthew 7, 24 to 27, and compare them. What Jesus says in one is not exactly how he says it in the other place. Now, how do you resolve that? Some people just say, you know, there you go, Bible has mistakes. Matthew did not record it just like Luke, and there are problems in the Bible, there are mistakes, and that's not true. It could be one of two reasons. One could be that Jesus gave that parable two times, just like I have given illustrations, the same illustration in two different sermons. It's the same story, but I've said it in a different way. So it may be that Matthew recorded one instance and Luke recorded the other one, but it also could be that Matthew and Luke, or one of them, is not quoting Jesus verbatim. One could be word for word, the other one could be giving a gist. So I just want to clarify that. Now back to the parable. Listen again to verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." The first question we need to answer in order to understand this parable is, who is the whoever? Who is Matthew talking about or Jesus referring to in the whoever? To understand that, we have to back up to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him." So primarily, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. But in the background, there was also the multitudes. There was a crowd of people. He was about to give the famous Sermon on the Mount. Who was in this crowd? All kinds of people. You had the committed ones, those who had sold everything and they were following Jesus Christ. You also had in the crowd the curious ones. These were people who were checking him out. Just like this morning, there are people here checking things out. I wonder what they believe about this, what they believe about that. So they had some curious people. They also had the conditional people. These were people who were following Jesus for a meal. There were people who were following Jesus for a miracle, the conditional ones. There was also the covert people. These were people who were following him, listening to what he was saying, not to, you know, commit their hearts to him, but to catch him saying something against the temple, to catch him saying something against the law of Moses. So to this bunch, the committed, the curious, the conditional, the covert, Jesus says, whoever, listen again, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Means it's not enough just to hear the word, but you also have to do the word. Now, what is the word Jesus was talking about? It was his whole sermon. Jesus was giving the invitation when he said, whoever hears and does. So what is the sermon? To get the sermon, we have to back up Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6 and the first part of Matthew chapter 7. What did Jesus talk about in this sermon? Well, to begin with, he talked about kingdom values. We know them as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. And on and on. These are kingdom values. And at the end of them, Jesus told them to go and flavor the earth, to go and illuminate the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Which means this, the kingdom values are not meant to be hidden. They're not just meant for the church. We got plenty of salt here. Go flavor the world. He challenged them to a higher living. He said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You think you're good? You think you're wonderful? You're righteous? You see the Pharisees and scribes? You got to do better than them. And then Jesus gave six antitheses. You heard it said, but I say to you. And then he gave some of these antitheses. Some examples, Matthew 5. You heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've done it. Higher living requires you to have higher standards, not for other people, for yourself. You heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But Jesus said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You have to live by a higher standard, but it's not over yet. Keeps going. Because if you want to be his disciple, you need to be sincere. What does that mean by being sincere? It means don't be a hypocrite. People like to parade their piety. When they give, they want everybody to know it. Hey, here I gave. I've done this. I've done so much for that church. I've done so much for this. When they pray, they want everybody to hear them. When they fast, they want everybody to know how spiritual brother so-and-so is, or how godly sister, well, you sit in sister so-and-so's seat, and you'll find out how godly she really is. What did Jesus say? No. You want to follow me? You have to be sincere. Don't be a hypocrite, which means this. When you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When you pray, go into your room. That's okay to have public prayers, but when you really want to pray, go into your room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How about when you fast? Well, the Pharisees would almost disfigure their faces. Really ashy looking. Jesus said, oh no, just the opposite. You need to anoint your head, wash your face, so you do not appear to men to be fasting. And then Jesus also gave the model prayer to help people out in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Folks, this is all part of one sermon. What does that prayer say? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a powerful prayer. This was not meant for you to just repeat it, rote repetition. This is a model. This is a model for you to apply in your daily life, in your church life. But it's not over. Next, Jesus warned them against accumulating earthly treasures. And he said, no, you need to have heavenly treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but instead lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Folks, this is all in one sermon. Are you investing in God's kingdom? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you investing in reaching the next generation? Most churches have a heart attack when it comes to reaching the next generation. We get so spiritual when it comes to heavenly treasures. But in this life, we are so particular about saving money, putting it in the bank. Oh, I got a bonus check. Oh, we made a little extra. Let's put it away. How much do we? Oh, that looks good. I don't know if it's going to last, but let's keep doing it. But when it comes to heavenly treasure, oh, I'm just glad to be saved. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Still not done. Next, Jesus reminded them not to stress and worry, but to trust and obey. That's right. Hey, listen, this is not optional. Well, Pastor, I've always been a little anxious type. I like to stress and worry about stuff. You know, that's just me. I've always been that way. Hey, this is part of the same sermon which the invitation said, whoever hears and obeys. So this is not optional, which means this, if you are the worry wart, you constantly worry about this and that and the other, something is wrong in your foundation. In Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now listen to this. This is my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In closing, Jesus didn't stop there. He told them, don't judge. Why are you so concerned about the little speck in someone's eye when you have a huge plank in your own eye? First, take that little speck out of your eye so you can see what's happening in someone else's eye. What is the point? We are so quick to judge someone over a small sin. When we have the same sin in our hearts in massive quantities. Don't be judgmental. Don't judge. But it's not over. Something else. Also have childlike faith. Have childlike trust. I mean, how do you see God? Do you see him as a ruthless commander-in-chief? Do you see him as Santa Claus? Or do you see him as your heavenly Father? When you come to him and ask him, does he give you the very best, or does he give you the leftover? Whatever stage in your life you are, whether you're a single person, couples, family, how do you see God in your life? Listen to what Jesus said. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? How much, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What are you asking God for? But if you truly trust God, if you're truly allowing him to work, trust him like a child and know that he will never give you second best. It will always be the best. But it's not over. Jesus talked about being countercultural. Cultural. There are two roads. One is the broad road. The second is the narrow one. The broad has a lot of people and it's wide, but the narrow is difficult, but it is a way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Countercultural means you have to stand up and say, yes, that is wrong. That is a sin. And this is where we stand. And you may not be on certain Christmas card lists, and that's fine. You may lose a little bit here and there, but that's okay. Hey, listen, this is still part of the same sermon, but here we come to the end. Finally, be discerning. Remember what we said earlier? Don't judge. When it comes to sin, check the sin in your own life before you start pointing something out in someone else's life. But there is a place for discernment. In Matthew 7:15, same sermon, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Ever heard anybody say that? Who made you the fruit inspector? Next time, tell them Jesus did. Yes, you can inspect fruits. Don't inspect their sin, but inspect their fruits. If you are listening to them, if you are reading their books, if those are the preachers you follow, hey, do a little more research than listening to just anybody and say, do they really have the fruits that reveal that they are bona fide followers of Jesus Christ? If they're not, listen, you're building your life on the false foundation. So what is the purpose of all this? When Jesus gave that illustration, that parable, what he was saying is, if you hear what I'm saying, you better also be doing what I'm saying. Then you have built your life on the rock. The rock is Jesus. So the rock is Christ. But listen, what is leading down to the rock? These are the foundations. These are the words of Jesus, his take on his own word. So what does it take? You have to have kingdom values, the Beatitudes. You have to flavor the world. You have to illuminate the world. You need higher living. Your standards should be higher than the people in the world. Sincere, heavenly treasures, people who care about what's happening on the other side as to how they live here. Trust and obey every single moment, knowing that if God can provide clothing for the lilies of the field and food for the birds of the air, he will take care of you. Don't judge. Deal with your own sin first. Childlike faith, trusting that God will always give you the best. Be countercultural. What else? Be discerning. Be discerning. Know who you're listening to. This is your foundation. Here's my question to you. Are you hearing and doing what Jesus said? Are you hearing and doing this? Is your foundation pretty intact or is it cracking? But truly honest, many of us, we're not even reaching down to the rock. But I tell you, you know, I believe salvation is by grace through faith. You know, it's nothing you can do. It's been done. Well, yeah, we've used that cliche long enough, but I don't know what we do with Jesus' words. If you say that, how much do we need to do? I mean, how much? I can't tell you that. The Holy Spirit will. And if right now the Holy Spirit has put his finger on your chest and said, you know it's you. You have a broken foundation. In fact, you have no foundation. Some of you, I don't even know where to begin. You have this whole chunk missing. The rock is way down there. Do you really think you're saved? But in closing, and this is very important, don't miss it. What are the storms of life? What are the storms that Jesus is talking about here? Because it says, going back again to verse 27, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the question is, what is this storm? Some people think that the storms are the crises of life. Relationship problems, financial problems, health problems, moral and ethical problems. These are, you know, the storms of life. This may be, folks, but I don't believe that's what Jesus had in mind. He said, how do we know that? Listen to verse 21 of Matthew 7. By the way, this is only two verses prior to the parable. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Well, I'm going to heaven because I was saved. I'm going to heaven because I was baptized. I'm going to heaven for all these reasons. No, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But keep going. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Oh my goodness, prophesied? You foretold the truth by the power of God? Okay. You cast out demons in your name? Man, that service, whoa, whew, I felt it all over me, man. I was tingling everywhere. And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, not the day that you have a job loss or you get that phone call that says you got to come in for a second test or the day that you have to sit in court and whatever. This is not that day. That day is the day of judgment. The day when the real storm is going to come. We're talking about the greatest storm that the world has ever seen. And this storm is at the judgment seat of God. And the thunder is the wrath of God coming out. The floods, as they're rising, are not floods in this life. It's the flood of God's holiness, which will drown and purge anyone who is fake, who does not have the foundation reaching down to the rock, which is Jesus. So in this life, you can go around saying whatever you want to about how you're saved and which church you belong to and what experience you had. It doesn't really mean anything. Here's the question, really truly, on that day when you are standing before the judgment seat of God and thunder and lightning are flashing and the flood of God's angels are standing with swords pulled out and they're coming towards you, will you stand? Well, I will say, Jesus, I believe. Jesus said it, Lord, Lord, you say in that day, and I will say, get away. Folks, that should scare you this moment. Some of you should be, don't even wait for the invitation. You should be down here saying, I don't think I know what I'm doing. Do you think everybody in this room right now is going to be in heaven? I say that with tears in my eyes. I don't think so. There are people sitting here who are not reaching down to this foundation. They've done things in church. They've had experiences. They may have Bible knowledge. But on the day of the flood, when it comes, and the flood is not the struggles of life. The flood is the wrath of God, His holiness pouring out, the angel standing up at His beck and call. And Jesus is there. And you can say, Jesus, I know you. I know you. And He says, I don't know you. Where did Jesus get this from? If you go back to Isaiah, and we'll close with this, chapter 28. Listen to this. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, listen to this, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Here you can hide. What better place to hide than a church? Right? Sit comfortably and hide. But on the other side, the waters of God's anger and God's holiness will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. Means on the other side, you cannot say, well, all my buddies are going to hell, so that's where I'm headed, and that's fine with me as long as we're together. On the other side, there is no covenant. Nothing is honored other than how you lived your life through Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. What is the foundation of your life? It's only when our lives are built on the truth of God's word that we can have hope for the future. Will your house stand against the coming storm of God's judgment? Trust in Jesus for salvation today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.